Here's another message from Pastor Peter Shirley from Life Christian Church.
Today is part five, and I've given it the title, which I borrowed from, was it Field of Dreams? Was it Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. Was that the catchphrase? And that's kind of why I borrowed it. If you build it, that'll make sense as we progress. Hebrews 10 and 38 says this. Now the just shall live by what?
Faith.
Faith. The just shall live by faith. Who are the just? Well, guys, it's you and me. Other translations say the righteous shall live by faith. We are just not in and of ourselves. We're declared righteous not in and of ourselves, but we are declared righteous by a holy God who allowed his son to die on the cross to be what theologians call the propitiation for our sin. So we have received unmerited favor. We have received something that we do not deserve, and we have received something that we cannot manufacture or create or earn or pay for. And that is, we can receive right standing with God. That's what Jesus appropriated for us on the cross. Can I hear a wonderful amen this morning? So we are declared righteous. We are declared just because of what Jesus has done for us. Purely and simply, that's it. So I don't have to earn my way to heaven. I don't have to earn God's favor or approval. I don't have to work hard to try and get God's attention. He declares me righteous. He declares me just because of what his son Jesus did on the cross. In fact, when God looks at me, he doesn't see a flawed person. And I'm full of flaws. My wife's here this morning. She would say a hearty amen to that. Love you, darling. He doesn't see flawed humanity. He looks at us and sees the perfection of Jesus. Wonderful. We're clothed in his righteousness. And so on that basis, we are declared righteous. We are declared just. So when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, it's talking about us if you are a born-again believer this morning. So here's the kicker. The just shall live by faith. So what does that look like for you in a very confused world? What does living by faith for you look like in a world that is so fearful at times, in a world that is so incredibly confused? What does living by faith look like for you? And in the context of today's message, how are you going to build faith in your world, in the culture, in the environment, in the neighborhood in which you live? Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Friends, I want to tell you this morning and reassure you and encourage you that God is not a distant, disconnected God. God knows you intimately. He knows, the Bible tells us, the very number of the hair upon your head. God knows you so well. God has you in the palm of his hand. God has you on his mind. God holds you in his heart. He knows you. And God wants your response to him to be a response of faith. Now, as we looked at in part one, faith can at times be confused. What is it to live by faith? Way too many people in the church today seem to think that the exercise of faith is actually all about my circumstances. If I have circumstances that I don't like, all I do is just muster up a little bit of extra faith and those circumstances will change. If I break my leg, for example, all I got to do is just pray a little bit harder, just believe a little bit harder, and I can throw the crutches away. All I've got to do if I'm sick is just have a little bit more faith. So I try to muster it up, and I dance around like I don't usually dance, and I sing loud like I don't usually sing, and I just yell at God so I make sure that He hears my request. And with a rush of adrenaline and with endorphins pumping through my brain, giving me a false high, I believe that I've appropriated something in God, and so I throw my tablets away. Friends, we need to be very, very careful that we don't make our faith all about us. We've got to be very careful that we don't develop a mentality that says faith is actually all about God fixing my circumstances. It's all about God doing what I need God to do to make my life that little bit easier. Can I say in my experience, if that's the mentality that you hold, you are going to be disillusioned. And two things will happen. You'll become either on one hand a church dropout, or on the other hand, you will become victim to religious bondage because you've got to work really, really hard to try and keep the adrenaline going and keep the endorphins going. You've got to try and stay on this false high that says it's all God's so wonderful. He's just blessing me in so many ways, and da 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 da. And we create this false expectation, and we can become in bondage to our own wrong belief. We can become in bondage to our own false expectations. Here it is. Faith is not about your circumstances. Faith is actually about God's character. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hebrews 11 and 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he, speaking of Abraham, considered him faithful who had made the promise. Listen, Abraham and Sarah conceived not because they went to a revival meeting and jumped up and down and worked themselves into a sweat and sent $100 to the televangelist who said, if you send me $100, you'll get your breakthrough. They conceived because God made a promise and they trusted the faithful character of God. That was their breakthrough. Nobody's applauding. It's all right, I'm not here for the next week. That's good. Listen, last week we unpacked this a little bit in the context of the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, please give us more faith. And Jesus said, no, it's not more faith that you need. In fact, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to move and it would. So Jesus reduced it. In fact, he gave almost the opposite of what the disciples were requesting. They're saying, increase our faith. And he says, no, 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 if you had faith as small. And the point that he's making is this. It's not about how much faith you possess. It's not about what you declare. It's not about working yourself into a sweat, yelling out to God, saying, God, we need a breakthrough. It's actually about having the tiniest little bit of faith in a huge God who is more than able to meet your every need. It's about you having the tiniest little bit of faith to trust His character. And here's the thing about Abraham and Sarah. They trusted the promise of God. God was faithful to the promise. But they didn't have great faith because God, in His wisdom and in His timing, which is always perfect, hung them out to dry. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the baby to be born, and nothing happened. So their faith waned. It wasn't about their faith. Their faith actually waned, and Abraham ended up, it was Sarah's suggestion, conceiving a child through a slave girl, a young Egyptian slave girl that was working in their home. It's no wonder Abraham complied to his wife's suggestion. And so they ended up producing Ishmael. That wasn't God's plan, and that was a lack of faith that caused them to do that. But they conceived still because God had promised something, and God's character, even when our faith wanes, God's character is true, and He is true to His word. They conceived not because of their great faith, they conceived because of God's character. which is flawless. And he came through and did exactly what he promised he would do. So faith is not about you. Faith is about him. So don't think it's something that I've got to muster up. The only thing you've got to muster up is a deeper relationship with God, a deeper measure of trust in God, and just trust his character, trust his ability, trust his love for you, trust his mercy, trust his grace, trust his salvation. God's character is flawless. He will never disappoint you. And he doesn't say, look, I'm going to release this stuff. No, he says, you've got the faith. We unpacked that a couple of weeks ago. God's given you the measure of faith that you need. You just got to exercise it. And it is your faith in the character of God that will cause you to see your breakthrough. Does that make sense? You see, your faith is not about you frantically trying to believe things into being. It is about you tapping into the resources, tapping into the character, and tapping into the heart of God. And friends, God is 100% true and faithful to his word. God is for you. Sometimes we've got to tell ourselves that. God is for me. God is for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Friends, God is on your side. And friends, we need to learn in maturity of faith to walk in a measure of faith that says, God is greater than any circumstance my life will bring my way. You see, it's actually God who has the last say about your life, not you. Hebrews 11 and 6 again, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Everybody say earnestly. Go. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. So it's not talking about the horrible habit we sometimes fall into, and that's just seeking God when I'm in trouble. It's not just seeking God when you're in trouble. It's not just seeking God because you need a job. It's not just seeking God because your marriage is in trouble. It's not just seeking God because your kids are off the rails. It's not just seeking God because your finances are in trouble. But it says earnestly seek him. Earnestly, diligently, continually, consistently, in the winter, in the spring, in the summer, in the autumn, no matter what season of life you find yourself in, you earnestly seek him. That when I'm on the mountaintop, I will seek him. When I'm in the deepest valley, I will seek him. Let's look at Noah. And Hebrews 11 picks up a bit of Noah's story. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, he built an ark to save his family. This is a beautiful picture. Noah's faith actually saved his family. Noah's faith actually saved his children from the storm. His children quite literally didn't die because of Noah's faith. That brings an incredibly challenging question. How is your faith affecting your family? Noah's children survived the storm because of their dad's faith. Men, can I ask you the question this morning? What do your children see in you when you're going through tough times, when you're facing storms? Do they come to the conclusion that God is real because of what they observe in you in the tough times? Do they? Do they see us responding to the challenges in faith? Do they see us at prayer? Do they see us reading the Word of God? How are you inspiring your children to faith? And here's an important lesson that we actually learn from Noah. Faith is not a passive thing. It's not a passive thing. Faith is an action resulting from obedience. It says, when God warned him about things to come, Noah put his faith into action. Noah did something. He built an ark by faith. And here's one of the exciting things about faith. Do you know, in faith, you will see things that other people don't. God will reveal things to you that other people don't have the privilege of that revelation. God will show you things that other people do not see. By faith, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. When God called Kerry and I to plant this church 12 years ago, we did by faith. One of the biggest faith steps we've ever taken in what is now almost 27 years of ministry. Let me say, when word got out that we were returning to Tasmania to plant a church on the northwest coast, I wish that you could see the opposition that we faced and the sarcastic remarks that we received and the discouragement that we received and the condescending comments that just abounded. We were absolutely slammed with that kind of stuff. But God had revealed something to us that he hadn't revealed to our detractors. And by faith, we moved in obedience to what God had called us to do. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Friends, are you hearing from God, actually hearing from God in a way that actually impacts the way that you live? That's a big question, isn't it? Are you hearing from God in a way that actually impacts the way that you live your life? Do you live your life according to the revelation of God, or do you live your life according to the revelation of the daily newspaper or the 6 o'clock news? Because let me tell you, headlines change every single day. But God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is the only thing that you can be sure of. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. It's interesting that we find fear and faith in the same sentence here. But let me encourage you that the kind of fear that it's talking about here is not a fear that comes from intimidation. We all know that kind of fear, and it's horrible. This is actually a fear that comes from incredible respect. It's a fear that comes because of his reverence for God. It simply means this, that Noah took God seriously. He feared God. He took God seriously. So here's a question. Are you really serious about God? Do you take this seriously, or do you just turn up on a Sunday? I want to tell you this. If in response to your faith, God gives you revelation, that just radically changes your whole life. Radically changes your perspective. And I want to tell you, God is hungry to give you his revelation. It's not just for me, for pastors, for preachers, for those working in faith ministry, which is a funny term in itself. For every one of us, the just shall live by faith. And if we have faith to reach out to a supernatural God, to an all-knowing God, there is no question, I can give you countless scriptures that back it up, that God will impart to you his knowledge, his discernment, his wisdom. And if we hear from God in such a way, if we have that kind of revelation from God, it shifts your perspective from what's going on around you and, more importantly, what's gone on previously to where you are heading. It shifts your focus from what used to be to what's coming next. Shifts your focus from what is behind you to what is ahead of you. And sadly, way, 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 way too many people live in the past. They either live in the brokenness of the past or they live in the glories of the past, past glories, and we enshrine them. Oh, if only we could go back to the good old days when this happened. And we hear that in church all the time. Oh, if only we could go back. And let me tell you, the good old days aren't as nearly as good as what you thought they were. They just somehow get glamorized in the passage of time. And we can get stuck in the past. People change their past. They get so caught up in what happened in the past that they can't even think about the future. And so many people are spending way too much time and energy and headspace and emotion just trying to deal with yesterday. Friends, you can't fix yesterday. Whatever happened, happened. It is what it is. You cannot fix the past, but let me tell you this. You have an opportunity to change the future. But it's only you who can change it. Your future will only live in what you built. Your future will only live in what you built. You see, God told Noah what was going to happen, but God didn't build the ark. Noah had to build the ark. Are we asking too much of God? Are you asking too much of God? Are we asking God not only to tell us what's coming next, but also to build our ark for us? Have you been waiting around for God to come down from heaven with hammer and nails and a bit of wood and build your ark for you? And are you disappointed because God hasn't built your ark? Friends, I want to encourage you. God was never supposed to build your ark. It's not God's job to build your ark for you. It's your job to build your ark. It was God's job to warn you. It was your job to build it. Friends, it's time to build your house. Can I hear an amen? It's time to build your house. Faith does not mean that God does your work for you. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark. Faith is not a passive thing. Faith is an action resulting from obedience. Can I encourage you this morning to stop whining about how things just haven't worked out the way that I would hope they had worked out? Can I encourage you to stop questioning and say, well, when's God going to do something? Maybe God's in heaven whining, saying, when are they going to do something? Build your house. Faith doesn't mean that God does your work for you. I'm just waiting on the Lord to do something. Friends, He's waiting on you to do something. And can I say this? It might be that your very next action, your very next response of faith, however small that might even be, that next action, that next activity of obedience might be the key that's just going to unlock such a blessing in your life. Psalm 101 says this, Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. What a beautiful picture. And here's the kicker. Whatever he does prospers. Whatever he does prospers. The Lord cannot prosper what you do not do. If you don't build it, he can't bless it. God cannot bless what you don't build. I think sometimes in church there's a wrong mentality that says, I love the Holy Spirit because he takes the hard work out of it. Oh, I just rely upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's all I rely on. I just wait on the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to do, that's what I do. And that's just the Holy Spirit. No, I'm not going to do that because I'm just waiting on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will do that by his anointing. You know, I've been to so many churches where I say to pastors, oh, what are you preaching on this morning? I don't really do that much preparation in my ministry. We just turn up on a Sunday and we just wait upon the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, when I first started hearing that many years ago in my ministry as I traveled around different churches, there was something in me that actually felt a little condemned. Thought, oh, wow, you're a lot more spiritual than I am. And I used to feel guilty that I wasn't in the same boat. Why can't I just turn up and wait upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Maybe I'm not spiritual enough yet. We just turn up and I just rely on the Holy Spirit's anointing. Friends, I hope that the word I bring to you every single Sunday is anointed. I hope that God gives me the words that I need to communicate his heart to you. But what you don't see is the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of preparation that I do for every single sermon. Probably on average, from scratch, about 12 hours. That's a lot of my week. Oh, thank you. So when I turn up to a church and the pastor says, well, I just say, Father, give me the word this morning. You know, what I've discovered, thankfully, a few years later, is that I can't find that in the Bible anywhere. The Bible doesn't say, ask for God to give me the word. The Bible actually says, study the word. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Hey guys, we got to give God something to work with. The Holy Spirit is not an excuse for laziness. Can I hear an amen? We got to give God something to work with. Noah, in obedience to what God instructed him to do, didn't say, well, I'm just waiting on the Holy Spirit to build the ark. God, would you anoint that nail and hammers and bit of wood? I'm just waiting upon God. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. No. Don't be lazy. Be a workman approved. Noah did the building and God did the blessing. And Noah built by faith. Here's the question. Are you building a life that God can bless? Sometimes all people build is a mess. They just build a mess, mess upon mess upon mess. And they want God to approve of their mess. And so they tend to couch their mess in spiritual language. They want God to bless their mess. Friends, if what you're building in faith looks absolutely no different to anybody in your world who does not have the faith that you have, I would suggest you're building the wrong thing. Because if you've got real faith, you're actually building in anticipation of something that hasn't happened yet. You're building for the future that God has mapped out for you. Here's the tough bit. Real faith has to be prepared to look like a fool for a while. Real faith has to be prepared to look like a fool for a while. You know, in the months and weeks leading up to us launching this church back in 2004, I can remember being invited to go to different pastors' or ministers' offices and just sit down and share a little bit of the vision. And I thought, oh, it'd be great. We'll pray together and get God's blessing. And I tell you what, I came out of those meetings feeling incredibly foolish. And those meetings were designed to make me look foolish. And they were asking me questions that I simply had no answers for. Just, I'm just doing this in obedience, guys. I can't answer the questions you're asking me. And I felt foolish and I looked foolish. Real faith is a man building an ark, and the ground is dusty and dry, and there's not a drop of rain in the sky. That's faith. And everybody is laughing at you because what you're building doesn't fit. The Apostle Paul said, we're fools for Christ. We're fools for Christ. Now let me say, if you struggle with pride, you're going to struggle with faith. If you struggle with pride, you're going to struggle with faith, because faith says, I'm willing to have everybody talking about me. I'm willing to have everybody laughing at me, but keep on building the ark. I've got to be willing to look like a fool. Friends, can I encourage you? People of faith often don't fit, because everyone around us are looking at what is, while we're looking at what's next. Make sense? So you've got to make a choice. Do you want to be a step ahead of the crowd, or do you want to blend into the crowd? Do you know peer pressure will put stress on your faith? Friends, if it's more important for you to fit in and belong to the culture around you, I think the challenge is, and it's not too fine a point to say this, I don't think you can have faith and fit at the same time. You've got to be comfortable with being different. You have to be okay with people thinking, yeah, they're a little bit strange. What a fool. To be comfortable with that while you keep on building the ark. But Noah is a step ahead. I might look a fool right now, but guess what? I'm building something. I don't have time to look back to yesterday. I don't have time to argue with you. I don't have time to worry about what you think of me. I don't have to listen to your negativity. I'm building something. And Noah, in faith, is putting all his effort into his future. Again, most of us put all of our effort into our past. And maybe if that strikes a chord with you this morning, let me tell you, we've all got a story. We've all got a past. It's not unique to you. And I would say without doubt, here in this place this morning, there is testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony in this room that demonstrates a powerful truth that is this. Your past can be a mess and your future can be amazing. So we've got to stop looking backwards and start building something for the future. Noah looks like a fool right now, building, because what he is building doesn't fit where he is. And all the neighbors are saying, look at that fool. What is that thing he's building in his backyard? Have you seen it? What on earth is it? Have you seen anything like that? It's just sitting there on the dry dirt. He looks like a fool. But guess what? The rain is coming. And for some of you this morning, that's all you need to hear. God's saying, the rain's coming. The rain's coming. The rain's coming. Let's have a look at this clip. Father, this morning, our prayer is that we would be a people who live by faith. A just people, a righteous people, to live by faith. Father, I pray, God, for each one of us, even challenged by the words of that clip, that an extraordinary God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. Father, give us the faith that we need, first of all, just to believe what we've heard this morning. And so often, Lord, because we're so familiar with Scripture, we kind of hold it at arm's length and we revere the great heroes of faith. But Lord, they're ordinary, everyday people. And what you do in an Abraham or a Noah or an Esther or any of the Rahabs, all these great men and women of faith, Lord God, you want to do, and you do continue to do that in and through ordinary people today. And again, many testimonies in this room today declare that to be true, including mine. Father, I thank you that you take ordinary, broken, everyday people. But Father, the key to unlocking that future is our ability to exercise that faith, to trust in you, to trust your character, that when you warn us, when you tell us things that nobody else knows, that Father, we have the faith to trust your character and to move in obedience to that which you have said. Father, I pray that you would birth in our hearts God-birthed dreams and visions. I pray your Holy Spirit would breathe upon every woman, every man, every girl, every boy here today. Help us understand that you have set us apart. Father, may we build your future. May we be okay just to have that sense of, I just don't really kind of fit Father, we should be uncomfortable in our culture. So challenge us, grow us, stretch us, Lord. May we live as people of faith. May that change our perspective. May that change our focus. Help us, God, to let go of what's behind us. The change that the devil often wants to use to drag us down to his level, drag us down to the world's level, to make us feel unworthy. He just heaps condemnation on us. I thank you, God, that in Christ we're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Set us free from the bondage of the past that we might look forward to and build into that future that you have for us. Grow us as a people of faith and in obedience, Father. May our obedience to take those little steps of faith be the key, the trigger that unleashes your blessing. Father, I thank you for this word. May it grow in our hearts. For your glory and for our benefit, we pray in Jesus' name.